Seen from a plane, the car would have looked like a slow beetle creeping across an endless beach, the sun glinting off its polished black armor. In fact, it was doing 30 miles per hour, the maximum safe speed on a road that had unexpected potholes and cracks. No one wanted to get a flat tire in the Sahara Desert. The road led north from N'Djamena, capital city of Chad, through the desert toward Lake Chad, the biggest oasis in the Sahara. The landscape was a long, flat vista of sand and rock, with a few pale yellow, dried-up bushes and a random scatter of large and small stones, everything the same shade of mid-tan, as bleak as a moonscape. The desert was unnervingly like outer space, Tamara Levitt thought, with the car as a rocket ship. If anything went wrong with her spacesuit, she could die. The comparison was fanciful and made her smile. All the same, she glanced into the back of the car, where there were two reassuringly large plastic demijohns of water, enough to keep them all alive in an emergency until help arrived. Probably. The car was American. It was designed for difficult terrain, with high clearance and low gearing. It had tinted windows, and Tamara was wearing sunglasses, but even so, the light glared off the concrete road and hurt her eyes. All four people in the car wore shades. The driver, Ali, was a local man, born and raised here in Chad. In the city, he wore blue jeans and a t-shirt, but today he had on a floor-length robe called a galabia, with a loose cotton scarf wound around his head, traditional clothing for protection from the merciless sun. Next to Ali in the front was an American soldier, Corporal Peter Ackerman. The rifle held loosely across his knees was a U.S. Army standard-issue, short-barreled, lightweight carbine. He was about 20 years old, one of those young men who seemed to overflow with chirpy friendliness. To Tamara, who was almost 30, he seemed ridiculously young to be carrying a lethal weapon. But he had no lack of confidence. One time, he had even had the cheek to ask her for a date. "I like you, Pete, but you're much too young for me," she had said. Beside Tamara in the rear seat was Tabdar Tab Sadul, an attaché at the European Union mission in N'Djamena. Tab's glossy mid-brown hair was fashionably long, but otherwise he looked like an off-duty business executive in khakis and a sky-blue button-down shirt, the sleeves rolled to show brown wrists. She was attached to the American Embassy in N'Djamena, and she wore her regular working clothes, a long-sleeved dress over trousers, with her dark hair tucked into a headscarf. It was a practical outfit that offended no one, and with her brown eyes and olive skin, she did not even look like a foreigner. In a high-crime country such as Chad, it was safer not to stand out, especially for a woman. She was keeping an eye on the odometer. They had been on the road a couple of hours, but now they were close to their destination. Tamara was tense about the meeting ahead. A lot hung on it, including her own career. "Our cover story is a fact-finding mission," she said. "Do you know much about the lake?"
"Enough, I think," Tab said. "The Chari River rises in Central Africa, runs 870 miles, and stops here. Lake Chad sustains several million people in four countries: Niger, Nigeria, Cameroon, and Chad. They're small farmers, graziers, and fishermen. Their favorite fish is the Nile perch, which can grow to 6 feet long and 400 pounds.
"Frenchmen speaking English always sounded as if they were trying to get you into bed," Tamara thought. Perhaps they always were. She said, "I guess they don't catch many Nile perch now that the water is so shallow."
"You're right. And the lake used to cover 10,000 square miles, but now it's only about 500. A lot of these people are on the edge of starvation."
"What do you think of the Chinese plan?"
"A canal, 1,500 miles long, bringing water from the River Congo? Chad's president is keen on it, not surprisingly. It might even happen. The Chinese do amazing things, but it won't be cheap, and it won't be soon.